Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But before we get too far into things, it's important to recognize our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be sharing these stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Jennifer Hill Booker, who happens to be your resident gourmet. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you for having me, Lee.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about your resident gourmet. What do you do and how are you serving folks?
Sure thing. So your resident gourmet is a company that I started when I was living in Germany and unable to find a restaurant job. And so determined to cook, I decided to go into the families, military families, and cook for them the favorite dishes that they missed from home. And that turned into teaching German families how to cook American food. So I was teaching them gourmet in their home. So you're resident gourmet.
So have you always been involved in cooking and dreamed of being a chef? Was that always your path?
Yes, it always was. And my parents, who were not thrilled when I told them that I'd rather go to culinary school than traditional university. So my father and I made a deal. He told me, you get your bachelor's degree, and then I don't care what you do after that. So I graduated from college, the University of Tulsa, in the spring, and I started culinary school in the fall and haven't looked back.
Now, what is it like for the layperson who maybe they're a home chef? Now there's, you know, with the prevalence of the food networks and everything, everybody is doing something a lot more sophisticated than maybe when their parents were doing. How do you know that being a chef is the right path? Like, because that seemed almost like a calling.
Well, I agree with you as far as it being a calling, because it is like any skill or any art, you have to continuously practice and get better and work at it. And it's a lot of hard work. And when people say, oh, I want to be a chef, you know, usually kids, and I'm like, okay, do you like to go out on the weekends? And they're like, yes. I'm like, we cook for people who go out on the weekends. So do you like to go out on the holidays? They're like, yes. I said, we cook for people who go out on the holidays. I'm like, this is a rigorous, you know, career. And so unless you love it and are passionate about it, it's probably not for you.
So now how do you, like when you're working with maybe younger people who want to consider this path, how do you, is there a way like you can tell like, oh, these people are, this person's not going to cut it, or this person is going to be able to hang in there?
Sure. I think it really comes down to work ethic, because let's say you have three students and they're all very passionate. Okay. And you can teach anyone anything. And of course, there's the natural talent, that inherent talent that comes into play for really great chefs. But for, you know, your three students, they're all excited. Okay. What's their work ethic? Do they show up on time always? Do they, you know, do the hard work? Do you trust them to get the event done without you looking over their shoulder, you know, at a point? And that really kind of weeds them out, because it is hard work and you have to love it to do it. And the pay is not always great. And, you know, if we look at what's going on in the world right now, the restaurant industry is just taking a gut punch. So you also have to be creative and be able to, you know, dig into your culinary bag of tricks and find other ways to survive.
Now, when you went to Paris to study there, what did you want to go there because that was the most renowned kind of place to learn this, as opposed to, okay, there, like you were in Tulsa, so maybe in America there were some chefs that like could mentor you or you can get involved there. Like, what drew you to saying, I'm going to the kind of the top of the cooking mountain to learn foundationally there?
I think it's just what you said. Just it is the epitome of classical French cuisine, and learning there, you know that you're going to get the quality education, and then you're going to get the accolades if you, you know, are able to survive the program, because it's pretty hard. But I always tell people that I had my foundation in culinary arts at Oklahoma State University Institute of Technology. So that was my base. But I've always been in love with France, and a Francophile is what we call ourselves. So just the romance and the beauty of France and of Paris and the food, and then having the opportunity to go and sharpen my skills. Like, it was a slam dunk. I was like, I have to do it. And was lucky enough and blessed enough to spend a year there studying.
So then when you take your learning there and then you come back to America, and then this allowed you to kind of take your unique twist on what you learned there and combine it with what you're experiencing here in America?
Exactly. And I realized that French cuisine and Southern cuisine are really just different sides of the same culinary coin. I mean, we use a lot of the same ingredients, the cooking methods, the flavoring. It's just perhaps French cuisine gets credit for being more attractive or aesthetically pleasing. But I would venture to say that Southern cuisine, I mean, if you look at a Southern table, it's, you know, it's beautiful and it's elegant as well. But it made me realize that those cuisines were very similar, and I was able to incorporate a lot of the techniques I learned in France and the flavors and the presentations with what I know and continue to learn here in the United States.
So now you mentioned the pandemic and how it's impacted, especially fine dining. It's very difficult time for those folks in there. How did you have to kind of make adjustments in your career to kind of manage through this crisis?
Yeah, it was different. I mean, for me, I was at that when we first kicked off here in the U.S. in March. Before that, I was traveling a lot for my work with James Beard Foundation and festivals, events, catering, cooking classes. So all of that just stopped. It was like done. And I enjoyed, you know, the first couple weeks like everyone else, and had a sourdough starter and cleaned out my closets and worked in the yard. And then I'm like, you know, my gosh, I need to make an income. I don't have any money coming in. So it allowed me, if there is a silver lining in this pandemic, for me, it allowed me to kind of dust off my journal where I keep all my ideas and actually implement several of them that make a couple bucks to keep the lights on. So that's been satisfying in that sense.
So what are some of those ideas that you dusted off and are now implementing?
Sure. So I started with a cookbook journal. I call it a cook-centric cookbook journal. And it's really a journal that has recipe prompts, a glossary, a place for party notes, so people can capture all of these recipes that we're learning virtually. Right. So they don't have 700 pieces of paper or trying to, you know, upload it in a file and then, look at that while they're cooking. So this journal has beautiful, vibrant covers. There's like 10 different covers, and you find the one that speaks to you. And then you can capture all these great family recipes, new recipes. I've had people give it as gifts, like they pass it along to family members and then they give it to, you know, the kid that's going to college or the bride or groom who are getting married. So that was great. I was launched my spice line, and it's called Your Resident Gourmet Cook's Spice Line. And it's spices that I've always blended my own, and I've blended for other people, you know, in the past, people I like. And so I'm able to have 6 different spices blends and sugars and salts to help that home cook you mentioned earlier, Lee, who's become more sophisticated. But this gives them that extra tool to make a restaurant quality meal.
Now, I'm noticing, and I'm sure you're seeing it as well, your fellow chefs here in the Atlanta area, a lot of them are going right to their customer, or maybe their former customer that was going into the restaurant, and offering some sort of Zoom classes or kind of watch me cook kind of Zoom experiences where you can interact with the chef. I think that that's a trend that is going to keep going even after this pandemic. How do you see that?
I agree with you. I think even after the pandemic, people have kind of found their sweet spot of dining out, but being able to still have that exciting experience at home, because the virtual experience is it's you and the chef, right? So you can't get much more personal than that. And then it gives the chef freedom to really engage with, you know, more people globally. I've done several, and it's quite liberating, and it's a lot of fun.
Now, how do you see, like you mentioned, you're involved with the James Beard Foundation. Can you talk about how that came about?
Sure thing. So I'm a huge proponent on using everything you have in the kitchen. So this is home kitchen, university dining hall, commercial kitchens. So it's a no waste initiative. And so I've always been very vocal about that. And my family is from the Mississippi Delta. We came up, you know, in agriculture. So all the energy you put in growing something, you don't just throw it in the trash because it, you know, it looks wilty or whatever. So I always say, you know, use it all, full use kitchen, no waste kitchen. And so I guess it's been about a year and a half ago, the James Beard Foundation reached out and asked if I'd like to be their impact fellow for the No Waste program, which means I traveled the country teaching chefs, home cooks, food enthusiasts how to run a full-use, no-waste kitchen. And we even wrote a online cooking class that speaks to that method of cooking. So that I love because, and then it really ties into right now because people are unfortunately struggling, you know, economically, a lot of us. So it teaches them how to use the entire bell pepper or the carrot, or if they're meat eaters, what can I do with this chicken? Once we've eaten the chicken breast, like what else can I do with this here? And so I love that. And I feel like it gives back and it teaches people a skill that they'll have a lifetime.
Now, can you share with our listeners maybe a tip or trick that you've picked up that maybe is obvious to you, but could really elevate that home cook meals or?
Sure, of course. So I guess we're getting into, you know, a little cooler weather. And so we're liking to cook more hearty meals. So I say something that's very economical for the meat eaters, but say you have a whole chicken and you roast the chicken. So you guys have had roast chicken one night. What do you do? So for me, I like to tell people how to repurpose the leftovers. And that may mean pulling all the meat off of the carcass of the chicken, adding some mayonnaise and carrots, and celery, and maybe grapes, pecans, make a lovely chicken salad. Or taking that same meat and adding some carrots and celery and onion and cream and making a chicken pot pie, putting a crust on it. So it's ways of taking what you have and turning it into something fresh and new. The same thing with herbs. I know people got super excited by, you know, kind of window box herb gardens. So now what do you do with them? And so I tell people, you know, you can take them and you can dry them out right on your countertop, put in an airtight container and use it to season meals later on. You can grind it up in your food processor, add a little oil, keep it in the fridge. I've known people who've even put them in ice trays, right? So you have a little cube of fresh ground garlic and basil to add to your tomato sauce. So tips like that. That stretch out what we're already having to buy and keep less out of our landfills and trash cans.
Now, for you, you mentioned these variety of kind of things that you're working on now, the spices and the books. Is there other ways that people can engage with you? You mentioned a little bit about these online classes or maybe experiences they have with you. Can people hire you to be, you know, kind of cater something? Like, what are some of the other offerings you offer?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So they can definitely find me at my website. So it's Chef JenniferHillBooker.com. And I'm on Facebook and Instagram, Twitter, all the good social medias. And Jennifer Booker will find me. And you can hire me to do, I call it COVID-friendly cooking. So a meal where I drop it off for you with reheating instructions. And then, of course, virtual classes, groups, and one-on-one. We can do that as often as my guests like.
And then what does that experience look like?
Well, it would be we talk and decide. If we're doing a one-on-one, so I can talk directly to my client, we decide a menu, I give them some options, and then I'll send them a list of ingredients, a list of equipment. We'll decide on a day and time, and then we make the dish side by side. So I can see them and they can see me, and then I can kind of check in on them if they're unsure of, you know, is it supposed to look like this or not? If it's a group, it's the same scenario. So we decide on the menu. I send out the list of ingredients, the list of equipment. We decide on a day, and we all cook together. So that's one way to do it. Also, I've been doing some videos where it's really me and the camera, but I share the recipe so that you can have the recipe, make it with me, or watch me make it, and then you can make the recipe at your leisure.
Well, that group kind of Zoom call sounds like a wonderful holiday gift for the family that can't connect all together, maybe in person, but can do the shared experience.
No, that's a great idea and a great point. I've done a couple that we had so much fun. It was, you know, it wasn't being there in person, but I tell you what, it was really close, you know, with the laughter and fun, the kitchen antics and mistakes, people that wanted a cocktail, had the cocktail during the cooking phase. So it was a ton of fun. And you're right, it would be an absolute perfect gift for people that want to cook dinner together over the holidays, but, you know, can't do so in person.
Well, Jennifer, congratulations on all your success, and thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Well, I really appreciate you having me. Thank you.
And then one more time, the website?
Yes, it is ChefJenniferHillBooker.com.
Good stuff. Well, thank you again for sharing your story. You're doing important work, and we appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you, and I wish you a very happy holiday.
All right, this is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, this work would not be possible without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. Please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.